Blog.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Talk Live. I'm Vince Bonfigli, your host. It is Tuesday, the 21st of February. Spring's getting closer, and what can I say? Can't wait for the warm weather to get going for good. Racing season's starting to get fun and exciting again. NASCAR down in Daytona for the beginning of Speed Weeks. This upcoming Friday night will be the first actual official points race of the NASCAR season with the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series. And in that race is my very first guest of the evening, or the afternoon, driver of the number 50 Beaver Motorsports entry, Travis Quapel. Travis, welcome back to Garage Talk Live. I guess you're about itching to get out on the track.
Well, yeah, thanks for having me. It's seems like it's a long but short off season at the same time. You know, you get finished up with Miami and you're ready for some time off and kind of kick back and relax a little bit. But then once, you know, New Year's rolls around, you're kind of itching to get back to the track. So, here we are, you know, and it was neat to see the cup guys on the track last weekend, and heading down to Daytona tomorrow, you know, Truck Series race Friday night. So, yeah, definitely ready to get the season kicked off and get it rolling.
Now, this is little changes came through with the team. It was kind of weird because I was trying to get you on last week, and Amanda says, wait, we got some announcements coming. There's some changes coming, and, you know, it's not finalized yet. And then all of a sudden, you know, I get the announcement out that, you know, I knew you were still going to be with them, but I didn't know what she meant by changes coming, and lo and behold, the team, I guess, Tracy and Mark decided to part ways, and now you'll be competing against your former part owner.
Yeah, I mean, there was last year, Make Motorsports was made up of Mark Beaver and Tracy Lowe, and during the off season, they went their separate ways, and you know, I was had the opportunity to drive for Mark and Beaver Motorsports at Daytona, and you know, very likely, you know, most of the races going forward for the rest of the year, but you know, as it stands right now, we're just Daytona, and then, you know, kind of look at where everything, you know, here in a few weeks, and you know, they have some really neat things in the works as far as sponsorship and you know, some new things, you know, coming on the horizon. So just kind of see how all that plays out and where it all goes. But, you know, excited for the opportunity to go to Daytona with these guys. And we have a great sponsor with Florida Lottery on the truck, you know, great looking truck. So can't wait to get down there and compete. Daytona is one of those tracks where, you know, you play your cards right and put yourself in the right position and are smart about it. You can come out of there with a, you know, chance to win or at least a really good finish at the end of the night. And for a small team that's building and trying to improve every week, that would be you know, that's our goal, is come out of there with a good solid finish and get the year started off on the right foot.
Well, it seems like you and Make last year had their best year ever as far as the Camping World Truck Series goes, and you had some good finishes, especially at Daytona and a couple other places. So I guess you want to try to improve on that for this coming year. Looks like you're back in a Chevy, and that should be a good thing. At least you're having the same equipment, maybe a little bit better getting out on the track until you get some practice in and dial it in a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely – there's a lot of things going into 2017 that are going to be the same as last year, you know, different team name, you know, a couple of the guys are still here in the shop, and we're working out of the same shop, and most of the trucks are all the same. So, but we definitely, you know, like I said, we definitely have a lot of room for improvement. You know, we're hoping with, you know, some sponsorship things and, you know, some, you know, things on that side with some funding for the team that we can really step the program up this year. You know, last year was a pretty good year for you know, as limited as resources as this team has, to be as competitive as we were and, you know, get a lot of the results we did with a very, very, very limited budget. So, you know, just make the most out of what we have to work with and try to build it on it every week. And hopefully there's some good things on the horizon and, you know, might give us an opportunity to go out and, you know, kind of upgrade our equipment, you know, hire on some more personnel and be able to present a better effort at the racetrack. So that's all down the road, and hopefully, you know, things start coming together. But I'm pretty optimistic that, you know, a lot of the conversations I've been in a part of are looking good. So just looking forward to seeing where that goes and, you know, hopefully be part of a really good building program this summer.
Yeah, I hope so too, because when things go like they did, and at least you still got the same equipment and some of the same people, and you're familiar with that. And getting out to the track when you unload and hit the track for the first time, what are some of the things you're looking to find out about the truck when you get into practice before the race?
Well, you know, going to Daytona, you kind of got what you got. You know, basically all the speed's built into the truck here at the shop. You know, it's obviously a horsepower and aerodynamic type track. So, you know, we're taking the same truck that we ran in both super speedway races last year, had decent results with it. You know, spent a little time in the off season trying to improve on the truck a little bit, and you know, but it's still, you know, from where the, you know, the top teams have as far as engines and, you know, equipment, we're definitely a couple notches below them. So we're just trying to take what we do have and make the most of it. And you know, once you get to the racetrack, you kind of got what you got. There's always a few things you can try and tweak and change, but for the most part, you know, you got what you got, and you just, you know, use that to, you know, use that knowledge and experience that I have to come out of there with a good finish for Friday night.
Now, NASCAR always seems to throw some rules changes in every year. Any of them affecting the team that you might think are positive and or might change things, or you have to work on something a little harder?
Well, there's some format changes this year. You know, last year we had the caution clock, and this year now, instead of the caution clock every 20 minutes, we have the race is broken up into segments. So, you know, there's always going to be some strategy involved when there's basically cautions at a given time that you know about as a competitor, you know, when to hit and when to, you know, stay out, maybe gain some track position or, you know, pit early, then stay out. You know, there's just a lot of different scenarios that can play out. So, you know, that's where, you know, the team really has to put their heads together, you know, bank off of our experience that we all have together and try to make the best decisions you can to get the maximize the results. So small team like us, we just have to really race smart, you know, kind of understand our position of kind of where we're at with our group and the equipment we have and take care of it, be there at the end of the day and you know, build on it and just try to improve every race.
That's the thing about the format changes with the stages now. I kind of see where maybe in a race 500 miles or you know, anywhere, the longer races where you might need something like that, because every once in a while, races seem to be getting a little complacent. But in the truck series, the races are shorter, and there's so much more action in the race that I don't think it's one division they needed to actually change a lot.
Yeah, the truck series is always known for great racing. You know, that obviously it's a lot shorter races than the cup races. You know, we're only on track 1.5-2 hours, you know, a couple hundred miles. So you got to get it done. You only get one or two pit stops typically. You got to make those right adjustments. You got to make the right moves. You don't have time to just kind of ride around, sit back and say, you know, we'll get those spots later or whatever. You got to make those adjustments and be up on the wheel. You got to be, all day long and try to improve your track position and you know, improve the handling of the truck. So we'll see how it plays out. You know, I know NASCAR doesn't just make decisions and changes like this on a, you know, just on a whim. You know, they have a lot of research and a lot of input into these decisions. And you know, hopefully at the end of the day, you know, we're in the entertainment business, and hopefully we, you know, this is something, a move that will the fans enjoy and you know, keep them tuned in, or, you know, get them going to the racetrack. So I guess time will tell how all that plays out.
I know all the purists they were crying about the chase formats and everything, and I know they extended that to the Xfinity and the Camping World Truck Series as well, which kind of, I don't know, I think a playoff atmosphere makes for better competition, and it seems to show in all the series last year. But you get all the people that, they should leave the, you know, I mean, I could understand the restricted plate races where the racing is tight in groups and there's a lot room for, there's more entertainment at the restrictor plate races than some of the mile and a halves. And
yeah,
that's where I think they need the stage format. But on
yeah,
the tracks,
I don't know how you can, I mean,
pretty much.
You know, I'm sorry to interrupt you there. I'm kind of one of those old school purists myself, but man, I don't know how you could argue with the last year's Sprint Cup Series championship chase. Right down to the final few laps to decide who the champion was going to be, a few guys all right there, you know, fighting it out with a few laps to go. I mean, part of me thinks you should be rewarded for your effort of work for the all season of races, you know, 36 races on the cup side. But at the same time, gosh, it was pretty entertaining and definitely had people on the edge of the seats, you know, in the playoff format the last few years. So I guess you can't please them all, you know, you can't please everybody. So I remember being a fan years ago when the championship, you know, title chase was over with 3-4 races to go in the season, you know, it was pretty much a lock. So that's not very exciting either. You know, like I said, you can't please them all, and NASCAR is always trying to improve their product. And I don't know how you can argue with what we saw last year.
That's true. I mean, you won the Truck Series Championship in 2003, you know, where you went from beginning to end and had to hold
yep.
everybody off
yep.
for the. So, I could understand. And if you have it locked up with a couple races to go, of course, your championship came down to about the last race of the season.
It came down to the last laps of the season. Really, it was that was a crazy one with myself and Brendan Gaughan, Dennis Setzer, and Ted Musgrave. We all had a shot at it with a few laps to go. So that was a good one.
And it makes it exciting. And that's one thing about the Truck Series, that the races are usually exciting anyway, because, like you said, they're not that long. You don't have time to sit and wait either. You have to get at it. And now with the stages, it's going to be interesting because of the throwing, I guess, an intermission caution to give people a chance to go to the bathroom or whatever.
I don't know either. Yeah, I kind of reset the table and everybody gets their work on their trucks, make a few adjustments, and then go back at it again.
I'm just kind of wondering, with that short gaps in the action there, where how it affects drafting, because the whole thing of the draft is to get up to speed and be able to tuck in, and then if you get all that done and you have to throw a caution to slow everybody down, then you have to build that all back up again.
Yeah, but boy, a lot of things can get dicey, you know, when you on restarts, guys trying to get in the right lane, you're always aggressive and pushing hard to make your lane go in those first couple laps. And, I guess more than anything, it kind of gives them drivers just a second to catch their breath, get their strategy kind of in mind and go back to battle. So I think a lot of times the restarts create more action and it's the old saying, cautions breed cautions. It just groups everybody back up and gives us another shot to run each other over, basically.
Pretty much. Because Daytona and Talladega are also always known for the big one, and this kind of sets up that scenario where there could be multiple big ones.
Yep. And that's, like I said, we don't have a truck right now with the small team that we have and the limited funding to really just go out there and have just, a dominant truck. We have to race smart. We have to have a good strategy. The guys with Beaver Motorsports over the winter have improved on our truck. We're very fortunate to have a great sponsor with Florida Lottery on it. We want to go down there and have a good showing for them, have good results. But we got to be there at the end of the race. We have to not be involved in the big one. We have to be smart, that's kind of the same strategy we had last year when we come out of there with a top five. So, that's what we're looking to do. Looking to have a strong outing for Beaver Motorsports and a strong showing for Florida Lottery folks. So, excited to get on track, Thursday and some practice, and definitely excited to get the race going Friday night.
Well, Travis, I'd like to thank you for coming on and sharing with us your knowledge of the racing, the Truck Series, and what the plans are for Beaver Motorsports and, this upcoming race Friday night under the lights at Daytona, kicking off the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series season. So you have a good time, get ready to go, and enjoy the weekend.
Yes, sir. Well, thanks for having me, and I'm sure we'll be talking again soon.
Well, that's for sure. Take care, and good luck on Friday night.
All right. Thank you.
There you have Travis Quappel, driver of the Beaver Motorsports. Number 50 Chevrolet, sponsored by the Florida Lottery. So like I said, he finished in the top five last year, racing smart. Now we got some new rule changes coming in. So we'll just have to check that out. Of course, race starts 7:30 on Fox Sports 1. And if you're in your Sirius XM. Of course, we'll be having Travis on in a bit. I know the team owners. We met them, like I said, when they were in Make Motorsports, joined up with Tracy Lowe, and we'll have Tracy's driver on. But I already had today all booked up because coming up at the bottom of the hour, Erica Enders will be joining me. She was supposed to come on last week, had an emergency, but you know what? Things happen, and hope everything's worked out well, so we'll talk to her in a little bit. ARCA also kicked off this weekend with the General Lucas Oil Complete Engine Treatment 200 driven by General Tire. That's a long race. Well, they're paying the money for the purse. That's the way it goes. Austin Theory in the Kenny Schrader owned number 52 Orlando Longwood Auto Auction took the checkered flag. Terry Jones came home second. Shane Lee was third. Fourth, Dalton Sargent. Cherry Hill, New Jersey's Tommy Hessert was fifth. Sixth, Brett Holmes. Seventh, Ricky Sanders. Kyle Weatherman. Eighth, ninth, Clint King. And tenth was Kaz Gralla. That's a points race. So, in the point standings, right now, Austin Theory with his win is leading the points by 15 over Terry Jones. So you figure the top 10 finishers are your top 10 points leaders. Next race for the ARCA series is the Music City 200 in April. So you got 45 days, 11 hours. You got plenty of time to set up for that one. That'll be at the Fairground Speedway in Nashville, which is a nice little speedway. A couple of people I know used to work for the speedway and in the public relations department. So it's a cozy little track. So you can go check it out. Nothing like these small tracks. I'm not talking, it's not dirt, even though ARCA does run two dirt races, but go check one of the ARCA races out, because they run some of the big ones, but they run some of the off the beaten path smaller ones. And Nashville is one of those smaller tracks that doesn't get any big races. Like when they built Nashville Super Speedway, they get everybody there except the Cup Series. They got IndyCar, they had, and that was one of the Dover Motorsports conglomerate tracks that they since sold off. The only one they have now is Dover International Speedway, which is my old home track, by the way. And I'll get back there. I always keep in touch with those guys. As a matter of fact, we'll have them on. Anyway, the Clash. We'll get to that in a little bit. Joey Logano taking the checkered flag after a battle between Denny that went awry. That's the way things go. Kyle Busch taking home the second spot. Alex Bowman in the car, the 88 car, the Dale Jr. machine, taking third. Danica Patrick, her first top five of the year. Of course, no points were involved, so she was a former pole winner. So look for her on Sunday to hopefully have a decent run. I'd like to see her do pretty well. Kevin Harvick was fourth. Brad Keselowski was fifth. Chase Elliott, seventh. Kevin Harvick, fifth. Brad Keselowski, sixth. Chase Elliott, seventh. Daniel Suarez, he's in the 19 car, which is Carl Edwards' ride. Edwards winning a pole, securing a spot in the Clash. But after announcing his stepping away and Suarez taking over the 19 car, he gets in his first, I was almost going to say the old sponsor, the first Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. That's too long. We got to learn to shorten that up. The Monster Energy Series race. So he's getting some seat time in the big car that he's going to be driving all year. So any seat time he can get is always a plus. Number 9, Chris Buescher in the 37, which used to be A.J. Allmendinger's car. Jamie McMurray takes the 10th spot. Matt Kenseth in 11th. Austin Dillon 12th. Denny Hamlin wound up 13th. Went from the lead to 13th after trying to block Keselowski. Didn't work out. Truex Jr. got wrecked. Jimmy Johnson got wrecked. Kurt Busch got wrecked by Jimmy Johnson. Then Jimmy Johnson wound up finding the wall himself. Martin Truex Jr. with 5-hour energy on the vehicle. It wasn't all solid flat black like it used to be. So it was kind of reddish and kind of looked pretty good, but it found the wall. Hamlin led twice for 48 laps. Of course, you know, this race was in segments. For a total of 75 laps. I guess we should have kind of known that, because the Clash has always been in segments. And this way, we'll see what it looks like in the 3 series starting Friday night. And, of course, the Daytona 500 Sunday kicks off the first points race of the NASCAR Monster Energy season. Of course, the average speed of the race, 143.8. Margin of victory, 1.12. Logano was able to step away as the track cleared. Of course, it was on the last lap of the race, so they did not throw a caution out and make them restart it. So Joey Logano, who's a former Daytona 500 winner, won it a couple years ago. Of course, Denny Hamlin, the current Daytona 500 champ, he was pretty much in charge of the race until that happened. His best victory in the preseason event. Prior to the start of the race, no cars dropped to the rear. 4 cautions for 16 laps, 6 lead changes amongst 4 drivers. So, my pick later on today, we get to make the picks. Tune in to here if you want to talk to us. It'll be later on. We have Erica Enders coming up soon. And looking forward to having her on, kicking off a new season. A few changes throughout the year, and It'll be pretty interesting. Anyway, I'd like to welcome to the show two-time NHRA Pro Stock Champion, driver for Elite Motorsports, Erica Ender Stevens. Erica, welcome back to the show.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I just wanted to how's your dad doing, by the way? I know things came up, and hopefully everything's well.
Yeah, he's doing a lot better. Thank you for asking.
That's
had
good.
A little bit of a scare there.
Yeah, you know, I understand these things come up. It's not something you want to see. I was looking forward to get you on before the season, but when the first race come in the way, that's okay. Yeah, we got a little, maybe a little more stuff to talk about. I know you're getting ready for race number two, but coming into this year, after last year, I can understand you wanting to get a fresh start. It was a little bit disappointing for you last year. I'm glad, I guess you're happy to get that out of the way.
Yeah, we're happy that that process is over with, to say the least. And, you know, we're back in, I'm driving my 2014 championship car, the Rick Jones built Camaro. And Jed Coughlin's got a brand new 2017 Rick Jones built Camaro. And Vincent's driving my 15 car with the new front end on it. So we've got three really incredible fast Chevy Camaros, and we're back in the mix of things, at least, you know.
I noticed you were in the Camaro, and I was wondering about that. I guess the Dodge thing was a one off, and I noticed your times were comparable to what was going on with, I guess, Greg and Jason's cars. And when I saw what happened in the semifinals, I was like, I missed the reaction time on that. So I'm figuring he might have caught you off the light, because 2/100ths of a second was the difference there. And that's about the only thing I could think of for him to get you on, because basically the cars were the same.
Yeah, we made it to the semifinals with my car. Jed got beat second round, and then I had to race Vincent second round, and we beat him. So I went on to race Greg Anderson in the semis, where I was 20 on the tree and he was 40, and then he outran us 2.5 hundredths, and the margin of victory was 5/1000ths of a second at the finish line. So it was a very close race, and I guess the best part of the weekend, you know, besides being able to get out of the first round for the first time in a long time, is that they know we're there. They know we're going to be a competitor again this year. We're back with our Chevy program, and we're really excited and optimistic about what's to come. If we can be within, you know, we always want to be faster than them, but if we can be within 1/100th or so of those guys, Jag, myself, and Vincent, we'll be able to drive there. So we're excited.
Oh, I could understand that. And what made you guys decide to go back to the Chevys after, I guess, the results of 2016?
Yeah, the results speak for themselves. Having said that, Dodge and Mopar were a great partner for us. I've wished my whole career for a corporate backer like Mopar, and it was really unfortunate that we couldn't get parts, and we couldn't make the cars run, like we can the Chevrolets. We had 1 year to work on that program, and that's not a lot of time. We didn't have our first Mopar until after Christmas in 2015. So we literally threw stuff together to get to Pomona, and then just were trying to maintain throughout the season, because we'd hurt so many engines during the race, and it was pretty detrimental, actually. But we had hoped to make it work. Time, money, and parts were the huge reason why that deal ended, and it was very amicable. You never know what will happen in the future, but our Chevy program is a proven program. We obviously won the two prior world championships to our year with Mopar, so we're excited to be back, and we're going to work really hard to get ahead of these guys and put ourselves back on the top of the list in Pro Stock.
Well, I know that's going to be the way. Your competitive nature is too good for anything less. But,
well, thank you. We all want to win.
That's true. And I guess having that happen last year makes the desire to win even stronger.
Absolutely. And what we went through last year, I mean, we've all had way worse seasons than we had in 2016. But coming off of the 2014, the 2015 World Championship, it was a tough pill to swallow for sure. And I think that what we went through as a team, and I've said this a number of times before, but what we went through would have torn a lot of teams apart, and it made our team stronger. There's absolutely no ego involved. The roster of names on my team at Elite Motorsports, the three teams that we operate, mine, Jag, and Vincent, the roster of names is pretty stout. For those men that work with us to have accomplished so much and to leave their ego at the door when we get there to better our program, I think it speaks a lot of everyone's character and what we went through. We are stronger. So I'm really excited about being competitive again. And, there's a pep back in everybody's step. So it should be a really great year.
That's for sure. Well, your team has always had a bond anyway, because even in the off season, going the hunting trip and out in the boondocks there at the owner's house. And I guess it's kind of more like a serendipitous type of situation where things just get even tighter between y'all.
Absolutely. I mean, I've driven for a number of teams in my professional career over the last 13 years, and this will make my fourth year with Richard Freeman and Elite Motorsports, and I've never had what we have. It's really surreal. It's a huge blessing, and we have to spend 24 weeks a year together as the racing schedule dictates, but we choose to spend our spare time together. I mean, you mentioned the hunting trip. We go deer hunt, and we go duck hunt, and we go fish, and that's throughout the year. Deer hunting comes around Thanksgiving. We take a trip every summer before the Western Swing, a team trip down to the Grand Cayman Islands, and we would just have a blast together. I'm up in Oklahoma at the shop all the time, and we'll all go meet out for supper, and Richard will barbecue at his house, and it's a big family is what it is. It's not, we don't have to spend that time together. We choose to because we have a blast together and we love each other.
And that's kind of makes the chemistry thing grow. I know there was some nasty weather down in Louisiana. Hopefully you guys avoided all that.
It was very nasty. I don't remember where I was, but I wasn't home. And my husband, Richie, sent me a video. He called me and he said that the weather is really bad. And I had been getting tornado warnings on my phone all morning for New Orleans. And I mean, I grew up in Texas where we have tornadoes a lot. Our shops in Oklahoma where they are all the time. But we don't get them down here in Louisiana. We get hurricanes. And so he called and told me about it. And a few minutes later, I get this wild video. He's standing at the front door of his business. He has a body shop and a salvage yard and a little used car lot. And he's standing outside like a goofball filming this tornado, this huge tornado that is like across the street from him. And I'm like, you have to go take cover, because those tornadoes like dart direction and they do it without warning. They'll eat you up. But he filmed this crazy tornado that went right in front of his shop and just absolutely destroyed the other side of the street from him. And they were really fortunate to not have any damage, just a couple down fences, nothing big. But I mean, all of his cars and inventory was fine, thank God. And but it was a crazy week for sure here in New Orleans.
I mean, that is hurricane area, and like I said, the tornadoes are rare, but the weather's been kind of crazy. Winter time. I mean, right now we're looking at 60s and 70s in the mountains of Virginia, just north of Bristol.
Yeah. Yeah, the weather is nuts, that's for sure. I talked to my boss this morning. He said it's like 80 degrees in Oklahoma in February. So it's a little weird, but I guess I'd rather be hot than cold.
Me too. I mean, the older I get, the less I like the colder weather.
Exactly. My dad says the same thing.
But I guess heading down to Gainesville for this coming weekend, what are you looking forward to now with getting out on the track and for qualifying?
Well, we head to Phoenix this weekend, and Gainesville's the following weekend. But Phoenix, we had the chance to test there before Pomona, before the first race of the year. So we've got some track time there this year. And, once we ran Pomona, I came home to be with my dad for a little while and then went back to Oklahoma where we tested for 3 or 4 days. I've been behind the wheel of the car a lot. And we've been working really hard on getting our program back to where it was. And we feel like our test was really successful in Pomona. I also got to test a factory stock Copo Camaro up there with Patterson Elite Power and, ran low eights with it at 160 miles an hour. And so that was really fun, too. It was kind of a fun treat during the pro stock testing. Not that pro stock testing is not fun, but we're looking forward to Phoenix. Our test went well, like I said, and I think that we'll be right in the mix. And if things work out the way that we predict them to, we'll hopefully be ahead of these guys by a little bit and be able to drive our way to the winner's circles, which would be awesome. So, and then after Phoenix, like you said, we head to Gainesville, for the Gator Nationals. I've actually never won that race, so I'm looking forward to that, and that is the race where I will debut that Copo Camaro that I was just talking about. So I'm excited. Lots of fun things on the horizon for Elite Motorsports.
Wow, that sounds like pretty neat. Can't wait to watch it. Now, with Fox Sports 1 handling the NHRA broadcasts, it seems that I don't have to wait till the middle of the night to see what happens, and then
exactly,
without knowing
the
results beforehand, they're running a few more live or not so tape delayed broadcasts, unlike other series. So that must be exciting, having newer TV coverage.
Yeah, we're excited about the Fox deal. We have way more coverage as a sport collectively. Pro Stock still struggles a bit with the TV coverage, but collectively as a sport, we're covered way better, way more hours on TV. We actually have 4 shows that are going to be on the network Fox channel, which is the first time that drag racing has ever been on network television in the history of the sport. So that's really exciting. And they also offer a deal that you can download on your cell phone or your tablet, where you can watch the live feed from the racetrack. So you get to see and hear everything that's going on real time at the racetrack as well. So it's been a really neat deal. The people at Fox are great, and it's an exciting time for our sport for sure. It's the only motorsport that's growing right now. So that's exciting.
Well, I think as the excitement of NHRA drag racing, you don't have these lulls in the race itself like you do on oval tracks, to where they can go a couple hours of nothing. You guys are on there, the tree goes green, you guys take off and back to the pits for a little work and then back out again. And with all the divisions, Top Fuel, Funny Car, you guys, Pro Stock Bike, and now the new thing, the Nitro Harleys.
Oh, geez, yeah. They're crazy. Those guys are crazy. They ran before us a couple of times in Pomona, and just looking at their motorcycles and, seeing the steel plates that they put on their chest before they, lay across that engine, it's just insane. And unfortunately, they had a couple blow-ups on the racetrack, and that's just intense. I've learned throughout my life to never say never, because you never know what's going to happen in the future. But you mark my word, I will never be on one of those crazy rides, that is for sure.
Well, I never rode a motorcycle because I was too crazy in 4 wheels. I figured I'd get killed myself on 2. So
exactly. Yeah, we need a roll cage and some seatbelts.
Yeah. Going down the track at those speeds, it's especially with nitro fuel. I mean, I see what happens to the funny cars and the Top Fuel dragsters when those motors let loose. Imagine sitting on top of your motor like that, and
yeah,
it wouldn't be pretty.
Yeah, I'm out on that deal.
Well, you're having way too much fun with the pro stock because you actually get to shift gears and do things that, and then a lot of the games played at the tree and all that kind of stuff. So it seems like you like the niche you're in because I'm sure you could move ahead to a nitro car if you wanted to, but being the first woman ever to win a pro stock championship, I mean, that's history making stuff, and that's something you always have to look at. So I guess you enjoy doing what you do, and the success of it has shown.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I absolutely love pro stock. I have no aspirations to go nitro racing. Having said that, I'll drive anything. It's not a big deal, but my heart is absolutely in pro stock. It's real racing. It's you leave with a clutch, you got to shift a lot of the weights on the driver's shoulders, and I love my team. So I've never been happier.
It shows. So well, we wish you all the best of luck in Arizona this weekend. I screwed that up.
That's okay.
I was looking too far ahead of the schedule. And it's always a pleasure having you on the show, and we'll be rooting for you again this year.
Well, I appreciate it. We will do our best, and hopefully talk to you again soon.
Oh, no problem. And have fun in Arizona, and let's see that Wally come home. I want you to beat those guys. I know you and Greg have a little rivalry back in the day when you drove for GK and you got your first win. And he had made a comment prior to that, and I just thought it was awesome that you made his dreams
made his word
his nightmare come true.
Exactly. I was very thrilled that it was him. You know, no disrespect. He's one of the best in the world, but to be the best, you got to beat the best, and we were able to do it that day, so it was exciting.
That's for sure, and things have grown since then, and like I said, we'll be rooting for you this weekend. Good thing at least you're still with I know Lee had left and Rob's taken over. So, and I guess from what I saw from Lee, that you were instrumental in helping him land the race at John, the PR gig at John Force. So,
he's a great guy and does a really good job. Obviously, we were sad to see him go, but he's moved on to bigger and better things, and we're very happy for him. So he still comes in the staging lanes and, you know, gives me a fist pump before I get in the car, and we'll be great friends forever. But he's a great guy.
Yeah, he sure is. And how's your sister doing? I know she's got a year under her belt as a married young lady now.
Mm-hmm.
We have to check on your sister.
She's doing good. She's still involved in the fitness world, and she's training people up in Pennsylvania where she lives now. That's where her husband is from. But they will be coming to probably 10 or 12 NHRA races this year. So I'll get to see her a lot again. And we were on the phone last night FaceTiming and trying to figure out our schedules to where her and her husband can come down here. I've been friends with her husband for almost a decade, and my husband is and Adam are great friends as well. So we have a blast together. We're just trying to get him to come down here, but she's doing good. Thank you for asking.
Well, were you the matchmaker of that relationship? It sounds like it.
Well, Adam had always asked me, like, what's up with your sister? What's up with your sister? And I'd tell him, stay away from her. But he's a really great guy, and I say it a bunch, but I couldn't have picked a better brother-in-law and a better husband for my sister. I mean, they have a really unique relationship, and Courtney's a handful, but Adam is able to handle her just fine, and they have so much fun together. So that's what's important, and I'm stoked to have them in the family.
Well, that's cool. Maybe we could all party together. You, your husband, her husband, and me and my wife, we can get together one of these days when you. I know you'll be coming to Bristol in June. I got to try to get there just to see you guys. And
yeah, Courtney and Adam will be there, so come on.
All righty. I guess I'll let you know. I'll have to go get tickets or see if I can get a press credential from the NHRA, and we'll get down there.
I'm sure we can get you set up.
Well, sounds good. Well, wish you luck this weekend in Arizona. Of course, we're always pulling for you to win because you've been a great friend of the show. And we'll be talking.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks for having me on.
All righty now. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
There you have Eric Anders Stevens. Great driver, pro stock, off year last year, two straight championships. First woman ever to win a pro stock champion. And a great friend of the show. She always comes on. She's been coming on the show before she's won a championship. As a matter of fact, I was able to get her on the show the night she won for the next day. So that's how cool she is. So anyway, let's take a look at the week coming up at the Daytona 500. Of course, front row qualifying was Sunday, and
we will conclude our Coors Light Pole Award qualifying for the Daytona 500. We are joined by our Coors Light Pole Award winner, Chase Elliott.
Chase Elliott wins the pole.
24 Napa Chevrolet. A couple quick facts here for you, Chase. You are the fifth driver in Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series history to win consecutive Daytona 500 poles. Your dad, Bill Elliott, is on that list. You and your dad are also the fourth father-son duo to win the Daytona 500 pole. Why don't you talk a little bit about that and your run out there today?
Yeah, I think that's really cool. Somebody told me, and I'm not sure the exact fact, maybe somebody here can help, but either the first time I think a car, the same car or the same engine builder has won three Daytona 500 poles in a row since Uncle Ernie and my dad did. Is that right?
That's correct. Back
okay. Yeah, that's really cool to me. Somebody told me that a minute ago, and that's pretty neat. So I'm happy to have a small part in that for sure. I think that's really cool. And to date back, I know how much success they had down here and how much they enjoyed coming and how good, you know, dad was at racing at this place and how good Uncle Ernie is at building motors to this day means a lot to me. So that's pretty cool.
All right.
And outside the front row, runner-up qualifier, driver of the number 88. No, it's not Alex Bowman. It's Dale Earnhardt Jr. Back in the car for the first time since getting injured last year. So he took the Rick Hendrick Nationwide Chevrolet to the second spot, only to get beat out by Chase Elliott, a guy who he groomed when he drove for Dale to get to the 24 car after Jeff Gordon retired. So here's Dale Jr. talking about his number two spot.
All right, we're going to get started with the media availabilities for today's Coors Light Pole Award qualifying for the 59th annual Daytona 500 here at Daytona International Speedway. We are joined by Dale Earnhardt Jr., the driver of the number 88 Nationwide Chevrolet, who has qualified second for the Daytona 500 and will start on the front row alongside his Hendrick Motorsports teammate. Dale, why don't you just take us through your qualifying run out there?
Yeah, ain't much to it. The car does all the work. You just kind of get to the, you know, the transitions are kind of important as far as feeding the car into the corner, but and also, you know, running as tight as you can on the apron without bouncing the skirt off the apron or giving up any speed or just time, adding feet to your lap by running high. At least a little bit can make a big difference. But other than that, the driver, I don't think he's feeling like he's in control of too much. The car's doing most of the work, and I didn't know where we stood against the competition yesterday in practice. It's real hard to figure out what guys are doing, how they're trimming their cars out, and whether to trust the speed you're seeing from people. Alan, I don't both of us are able to show up, and it's good to be on the front row. I certainly loved to have gotten a pole, but I know my boss man's happy. I just talked to him on the phone, and he's got to be thrilled with having his cars up front.
All right.
There you have Dale Jr. All right, going into Daytona. We have Denny Hamlin as the defending champion. Looking strong in the class. Of course, that was only 16 cars as opposed to the 40 that'll be involved in the race. And you have your pole winners. And, of course, the front row, which will be fielded by Chase Elliott and Dale Jr. Dale Jr., you know, is always going to run good there. If he stays out of trouble, he's got a good chance to win the race. Now, on restrictor plate racing, Daytona's kind of funny. Jr. does have a couple of wins there. So he won Daytona 500 win under his belt. The only thing he has yet to do, actually, to cement his legacy, is win a Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series championship. But if I look at the standings from last year, the Daytona 500, not the 400 in July, just the 500, I see Hamlin, Truex, Kyle Busch, Carl Edwards, okay, four Toyotas, Truex, Gibbs Power, but Furniture Row. So, and then you see Kevin Harvick, Joey Logano. Now, here's the kicker. Stuart Haas Racing has switched to Ford. And they're looking pretty good in a Ford, of course. Roush Yates Motors. Logano in a Ford, the Penske Ford. Brad Keselowski as well. So, it's going to be interesting because you're going to have Gibbs Toyotas there. Penske Fords, Stuart Haas Fords, and Hendrick Chevys. Richard Childress Chevrolets haven't done as well as I would like. Of course, they haven't done well at Daytona since Dale Sr. drove for them. Actually, Harvick actually did pretty good when he was with them. But it's going to be a tough call. It's hard to go against Dale Jr. I usually like to pick him in restrictor plate races. How's his health going to be? I don't know. But I would like to see a new guy win it, like Truex or even Kyle Busch. He's won a championship. He doesn't have a Daytona 500 under his belt. Harvick does. Edwards is gone. That'll be Daniel Suarez in that vehicle. I don't think he'll get it. It'd be nice even if Chase Elliott got it. But as far as I know, I don't know who's going to get it. I think Truex has had some bad luck. Now, we've got other factors coming into play. Last year's race was the traditional 200 laps beginning to end, cautions in the middle, you know, that type of thing. No stages, points being out per stages. That's going to be a little tricky to figure out anyway. But, you know, if the clash was any indication, I think it's going to be, and usually the guy who wins the clash doesn't win the 500. You know what? I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to pick a Ford and go with Brad Keselowski. He ran well till the end of the clash. He always runs well at Daytona. He's won Talladega. We'll go with Brad K. So anyway, that's our show for today. Special thanks to my guests, Travis Quapple for Beaver Motorsports and two-time Pro Stock Series champ, driver for Elite Motorsports, back in her Chevy Camaro, Erica Ender Stevens. So you all have a good day and good racing. Don't forget, you can catch us on podcast shortly. any time of the week if you can't get to us live. That's blogtalkradio.com/garagetalklive. I'm Vince Bonfigli, your host. We'll see you all next week. Bye now.